O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. How many of you have ever heard of the Ten Commandments? Anybody here heard of the Ten Commandments? Awesome. Thank you. Where did you first hear of them? Where do you hear of them? Church, thank you. Anywhere else? Sunday school, thank you. Charlton Heston, awesome. Thank you. Does anybody remember school? You know? There you go. I am Alan Warren, and today's message is, Who is God? The Ten Commandments, or the Law and the Prophets. And I want to thank you for being here today. I love getting out on a sunny day, but it was just a little nipper out there this morning. So you have to take them both. Thank you for being here. Today you will learn about the vertical and horizontal components to the Ten Commandments that talks about our love of God and our love of neighbor. You will learn about a division that happens in the nation of Israel because they forgot to put these laws into practice, and how the prophets constantly were trying to remind the people and bring them back on track. And you will learn how our own prime minister was like the voice of the prophet during his tour of Europe last month. Can I share you a bit of my own story? Thank you. My dad kind of ruled the roost with a fairly firm hand. You did what you were told, and if you stepped out of line, you needed to be prepared to suffer the consequences. Now, that coupled with my dad's impatience and anger, especially while working on the car, and I always wanted to try and help, and I didn't know what wrenches I was trying to get, right? I'm not mechanically minded, you know what I mean? My dad was very mechanically minded. Left me with an image of God who was stern, unwavering, and if you ever stepped out of line, you were going to get punished. And somehow that image of God was laid over top of the Ten Commandments. Those were the household rules, so to speak, that you dare not break, or you would be in trouble with God, who was constantly watching you from above, waiting for you to break one of those rules, to step out of line. I don't know if that sounds familiar at all, but it was for me. So this morning, the question I have for you is, I want you to think of the kind of images and feelings that you associate with the Ten Commandments and with God, especially in relation to the Ten Commandments. What images and feelings do you associate with the Ten Commandments and God, who was the giver of those commandments at that point in history? Does that make sense to you? Now, I want you, as always, to think of talking to someone you usually don't talk to. Go ahead. Thank you. Not feeling it today. Please stop. When I've generally thought of the Ten Commandments, I've always thought of them very much as individual in nature, a me and God thing. Yet after looking into them this week, I realized how much more they're focused on community and not directed to me as an individual, but in community. There is the vertical axis of having to do with our relationship to God. Which of those commandments do you think are very specific about our relationship to God? Can you remember any? You'll have, thank you, no other gods before me. Any other? Don't take his name in vain. Thank you, don't take God's name in vain. Any others? Honor the Sabbath. Thank you. Wonderful. No graven images. Awesome. Now, the other part of the Ten Commandments is more horizontal in nature, having to do with our relationship with our neighbors. Which commandments do you think have to do with that? Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Thank you. That's not one of the Ten Commandments, but it's in there. It's a summary of them. Because the one of the great questions was always to get the law and the prophets down to the smallest tidbit you could. And that was the summary. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Don't covet your neighbor's things. Thank you. Anything else? Don't steal. Thank you. Honor your father and mother. Thank you. Don't kill. Thank you. What? Don't steal. Thank you. So you're pretty familiar with these. No stealing, no false witness, family responsibilities. Honor your father and mother and being faithful to your partner. From the very beginning, God has laid out you cannot separate your relationship to God, vertical axis, from the horizontal axis, relationship with your neighbor. It's as if God was reminding you that the blessing God desires for you is connected to how you take care of people around you. Does that make sense? Blessing connected with how you create community. Wow. And the passage from Amos today reminds people of that. In chapter 6, which we didn't read, feel free to do that when you go home today, Amos says, "How terrible for you who stretch out on your luxurious couches, feasting on veal and lamb." Anyone like veal and lamb? You know? "You drink wine by the bowlful." Okay, can you handle that? Can you handle that? I want to come to that party. Okay, couches, nice couches, veal and lamb, wine. "So you will be the first to go into exile." Not so nice. Not so nice. Do you want to know why? Because of the indictments that Amos mentions in chapter 5. "You have oppressed the poor and robbed them of their grain." You know, in other places it talks about how you got your wealth illegally. You take bribes and prevent the poor from getting justice in the courts. Micah says you use lopsided scales in the marketplace to cheat people. Okay? Today we might call them trade agreements. Okay? Is everyone's needs being heard and addressed in trade agreements? Okay, so that's what we have to think about. The Ten Commandments remind you that your relationship to God cannot be separated from the relationship with your neighbors. Sybil Towner states that in function, the Ten Commandments can be compared to 10 posts that separate the viable community of Israel from the marauding beasts of disorder, chaos, and howling bloodshed outside the pale. That makes sense? How we create community, how we listen to one another, how we take care of one another. Because when we stop doing that, there's disorder, confusion, and violence. Another interesting point about these Ten Commandments was that, unlike case law, there was no stipulations for punishment if you broke the law in that Ten Commandments summary. If you speed and get caught, what happens? Get a ticket. Thank you. Don't get caught. Is that what someone said? You know, don't speed. Okay. So there was no stipulations of punishment in these Ten Commandments. What we haven't realized, though, is that maybe the punishment is the destruction of community life, which is the source of God's blessings. The commandments were given as a gift of life with God and with one another, stretching out before the people of Israel to the new land God was going to give them. If you follow these, you will have a sense of order, a sense of community, and a sense of blessing. Now, in this series, I said I'd also try and teach you something about the Bible. Can I give you another brief Bible history lesson? Thank you. In 1 Kings chapter 12, you can go home and read it, there is an important watershed in the nation of Israel. Do you remember last week how we read that God rescued the Israelites while they were slaves in Egypt? Remember that? The beginning of Exodus, Moses. God hears their cries. Well, by the time 1 Kings rolls around, so they've gone through the wilderness, they've gone into the promised land, they've created a united nation under David. Okay, by the time 1 Kings rolls around, David's son was Solomon, and Solomon's son is on the throne. Okay, by the time of King Solomon, they had started to forget about these rules. The elite and the business class and the king had forgotten the lessons God tried to teach them. King David's son Solomon had just died. Solomon went under a huge, ambitious building program. Remember, they built the pyramids in the cities of the Egyptian king? Okay. Solomon built a magnificent temple and a magnificent palace for himself. Who do you think did the work? Slaves. Okay, who were the slaves this time? His own people. Absolutely right. The Israelites themselves. Okay, so after he dies, he goes up to the 10 northern tribes and he asks them, you know, will you follow me? And they ask him a question. Can't remember this king's name. You're going to have to read 1 Kings 12. Okay, it's King David's grandson. He says, how are you going to treat us? Life under your father wasn't easy. Those ambitious building programs, the temple, the palace, are you going to take it easy on us? Or can we expect more of the same? You know what the answer was? You ain't seen nothing. Bingo. The old advisor said, tell them you'll take it easy on them. They'll follow you faithfully. The young advisors, you know, you want to, you know. He said, tell them that my father's thumb was like my little finger. You ain't seen nothing yet. So you know what those 10 northern tribes did? They said, forget it. We're out of here. And they revolted. And from that time on, in the nation of Israel, there was a civil war. The 10 northern tribes, okay, in Damascus, they later became the Samaritans, Remember that story Jesus had about the Samaritans? Okay. And the two southern tribes, which were known as the kingdom of Judah. So from chapter 12 on, you will read about the kingdom of Israel and the kingdom of Judah. They are the 12 tribes that are constantly fighting one another. And kingdom of Judah is the one that had the descendant of David on the throne. So in the Exodus story, it was a foreign power that was the oppressor. In 1 Kings chapter 12, it was their own king that became the oppressor. And the prophet's role was to remind the elite, the entrepreneurs, that your relationship to God cannot be separated from how you treat people in your own community. And especially the foreigners who are in your midst. Do you remember the prelogue to the Ten Commandments? I am the Lord your God who took you out of Egypt when you were slaves. It's the whole context. I heard your cries when you were at the bottom. So if you want to be faithful to me, you need to listen to the voices of those at the bottom. And so Amos in chapter 5 verse 21 says, I hate your religious festivals. Why? Because they sound hollow. If you truly want to worship me and say that I am your God, remember you must hear my words and commands, and you must take care of your neighbors. Do you remember the parable that Jesus told that started with the question, who is my neighbor? It's the parable of the Good Samaritan. Is my neighbor just the people who look like me, the people who come to church? Are those the people I only help? And the answer was a big, fat no. Okay? Now, do you remember what the second commandment was? Should have had them left on the screen. Wow. No graven images. Okay, no graven images. One author commented that God wishes that the faculty of faith not be the eye to look upon something, but the ear. God wants you to hear God's voice, to listen to God's commands and put them into practice. Do you know what the only acceptable image in the Bible kind of is? Human beings who were made in God's image. Remember? So when you respect and take care of one another, that's the whole human family, you are giving praise to God. Wow. Now, I was really amazed at an article in the February 18 Spectator about a speech that Justin Trudeau delivered to an audience of 400 politicians and business leaders in the opulent Hamburg City Hall in Germany last month. It was a black tie advance event, and I don't even want to guess how much it cost to be there. Now, he said politicians need to do a better job of explaining the tangible benefits of agreements such as the Canada free trade deal with the European Union that he was over there to sign. Do you remember that in the news a month ago? No more brushing aside the concerns of our workers or our citizens. When companies post record profits on the backs of workers consistently refused full-time work. You know, isn't that the plague today? Part-time work. And the job security that comes with it, people get defeated. Increasingly, inequality, rich and poor, has made citizens distrust their governments and distrust their employers. And the anxiety of the working class is turned into anger. Remember, is it Briex? You know, they voted to get out. Brexit. Thank you. Briex. Whole other thing. Thank you. You can tell me at coffee, okay? Thank you for keeping me on track. That's awesome. The business and politicians need to take heed and take long-term responsibility for their workers, their families, and the communities in which they operate. For business leaders, it's about thinking beyond your short-term responsibility to your shareholders, i.e. maximize profits. It's time to pay a living wage and to pay your taxes. What do governments do with taxes, hopefully? Social programs, thank you. Infrastructure, roads so we can get around, hospitals, schools, libraries, recreation areas. Again, to increase the quality of life for the average person. And give your workers the benefits and peace of mind that comes from stable full-time contracts. Those aren't my words. I almost fell over when I read them. Because you know what? Mr. Trudeau was being a prophet there. He was being the voice of Amos or Micah from the Old Testament. The Jewish law that is summed up in the Ten Commandments is not about an angry God that can't wait to punish you when you step out of line, looking up there. That God is about a gift of life. The God who gave the commandments was the one who heard the cries of the workers, of the slaves, building the cities when they were oppressed and treated unjustly. Today we might call them sweatshops. Building the cities of Python and Ramsey for the king of Egypt. In a sense, God was saying, if you don't want to experience that again, and that's what exile was about when they were sent to Babylon, okay, follow these guidelines to maintain a sense of community amongst you through which you will be blessed. When we learn to take care of one another, we receive blessing. Wow. And the punishment for not doing that is the disintegration of community, or another word for it is exile, being going into Babylon. The commandments are laid out more fully in those old books that we never like to look at because we can't understand them, you know. But look at Exodus chapters 21 and 23. Leviticus chapter 25 talks about the treatment of slaves or workers, no interest loans to the poor, taking care of the foreigners in your midst, and creating places of sanctuary. Does that sound familiar at all? Creating places of sanctuary? Hearing of people coming across the border these days? Sanctuary. Because when we don't, we get divided into groups. We get angry at one another, fearful of one another, which leads to violence, confusion, chaos, some of which I believe was apparent in the last U.S. election and all those speeches you heard ahead of time. Do you remember some of the news about some of those rallies? Wow, not nice. And again, the words of Amos. So you think keeping your head down or keeping quiet in such evil times is the right thing to do? Don't make waves, maybe it'll blow over. You ever heard that phrase? You know? No. Make it your aim to do what is right, to speak up, and see that justice prevails. Wow. I don't know about you, but I never would have thought that these ancient stories could be so relevant today. How about you? Wow, they speak to what happens today. The Ten Commandments, horizontal, that summarize our relationship to God, cannot be separated from the vertical component that has to do with relationships with our neighbors. Does that look familiar at all? The up and down and the horizontal? Anybody see anything that looks vaguely like that? You know, behind me? Yeah, it's the cross. And coming to dig a little deeper in our faith, that is what Lent's about. You know? And the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew's Gospel, Jesus said, I have not come to do away with the law of Moses or the teachings of the prophets, but to fulfill them. I've come to bring them to life. I've come that I might write them on your hearts and blow new life and energy in them so that the world that God desires might come into being around us as we learn to take care of one another and bless us and the world when we do that. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our closing, we're not there yet, folks. Got to wait a little longer for your coffee. Our next hymn is number 528. 528.